Come on, we're on the third message of our series, Worry-Free Finances. Y'all been getting some stuff out of this? Do you realize that in America, in the times that we live today, they had a survey asking people across the country what was the major thing that they worried about in their life, and over 80% of the people that were surveyed said money was the main issue. How many of y'all can relate? I believe that the Bible gives us principles that if we will establish these principles in our life, we'll live smooth and easy and worry-free in our finances. Amen? You know, we serve the God. He's called Jehovah Jireh, the Lord who's our provider. That's one of the names of God. And listen, Jehovah Jireh is representative of the character of God. What that means, he's the God of more than enough. He's our provider. Jehovah Jireh means the Lord is our provider. So when we agree with and follow the principles of God, how many know the Bible's not a book of good ideas? It's a book of principles that if we'll obey the principles and follow the principles that are in the Word of God, we'll live a blessed life. So God has put some really important principles in the Bible that if we'll begin to follow these principles, instead of us waking up worrying, going to bed worrying, we can wake up happy. We can wake up in peace, knowing that God's got it all under control. So we talked about two things that we've got to do to keep our finances in order. Number one, the first thing was that we need to tithe consistently, right? That's the first freeing step. The second thing is you've got to manage responsibly. Tithe consistently. Manage responsibly. And the idea behind that is we need to understand that everything that we've got is God's. And it's on loan from Him. And we ought to manage His stuff well. Here's a good principle in managing your finances. You may have to start off small, but when you obey God and manage right, it's not going to stay small. It's going to grow. So tithing consistently, managing responsibly, and number three, today we're going to talk about giving generously. Giving generously. I'm reading the Model Man book that you saw Pastor Larry talk about, and he made a statement there that really stuck with me. He said, your finances tell people more about your integrity than almost any other indication in life. You know, there's two things that are really good integrity indicators in your life. And number one is your money. Number two is your time. Your money and your time. Your money ought to always add up to who you say that you are. Your time ought to always add up to who you say that you are. Right? So today, let's talk about generosity. And this is the big idea, or the thing I really want you to get in being generous, is this, is that God expects His people who receive blessings from Him to be a blessing to others. God expects His people who receive blessings from Him to be a blessing from others. You see, we should never have the mindset of a hoarder. God never gives you anything to keep. Everything that He gives you, He expects you to use. And generosity is not just your finances. Generosity is an attitude. Generosity is a lifestyle. I think Jesus really said it right in Matthew 5. He said, here's what generous looks like. If someone asks you for your shirt, give them your cloak also. If someone asks you to go 1 mile, go with them too. In other words, it's a willingness to go beyond and give beyond what's expected of me. I think that represents the heart of God. Anytime Jesus was that, see, we get a mentality sometimes, somebody asks us to do something that we don't expect, we get put out. Well, I don't know. Jesus never said no. Jesus lived with a yes attitude. Generosity is living with a yes attitude. It's living with an understanding that God has blessed me and I'm ready to bless. Like Peter and John, even when your pockets are empty, you got something to give. When they went to the temple, the Bible said the lame man said, "Can you spare me a dollar?" And he said, "I don't have any." He checked his pocket, said, "I don't have anything." He said, "But such as I have, give I unto thee." You see, that's an attitude of generosity. Such as I have. In other words, whatever I have, God can use. Whatever I've got, I'm going to let God use it for his glory. Amen? Generosity. Here's some things about generosity. First thing is that generosity is an attitude or a spirit. It's an attitude or a spirit. It's a yes attitude. The second thing about generosity, it's a reflection of the heart of God. Aren't you thankful that God's not stingy? How about, what if John 3:16 read this way? For God loved the world a little bit, so he gave something. No, for God so loved the world, the capacity, the greatness of God. He loved God, he loved us so much that he gave his best. God's not stingy. God's not a withholder. God's a blesser. When we are generous, we are showing the reflection of God's heart, how much he loves people. Can God, let me ask you a question. Can God be generous through you? Are you willing to allow God to be generous? Let me tell you, you got to stay in a mindset of generosity. And I'm going to give you some keys. Well, just some things. Don't write these down. Just thoughts in my mind that I'm going to give you. Number one, the first thing you've got to understand is that there's going to be things that come against you to try to keep you from being generous. Your light bill is going to be $50 more one month than what you expected it to be. Something's going to happen. Something's going to come up because the devil wants to put you in a mindset. God wants you in a generous heart, a generous spirit, a generous mindset. The devil wants you stingy, scared, and fearful. He wants you to be like Chicken Little. I call it the Chicken Little syndrome. The sky is falling. Can I just tell you, the sky is not falling. Everything's going to be all right. Well, you say, Pastor, what am I supposed to do? Do what the Bible says to do. Keep tithing, keep managing, keep giving, and God will take care of the rest. So there's going to be some things that come against you. They're going to want you to withhold what God wants you to be. God never calls Christians to be a cul-de-sac. You know what a cul-de-sac is? It's a dead-end play. He wants us to be a conduit where the blessings flow in and the blessings can flow out. God's idea for us being here is that the whole world be blessed because of us. Now, here's the deal. The world will never be blessed with a me mindset. If all I ever do is think about me, mine, and mine, then I'll never see the needs of someone else. Philippians 4:19 says, "My God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory." So here's what I want you to understand. If I'm stuck in need mode, it's not God's fault. Uh-oh. We have plugged up the conduit somehow. So here's some things I would recommend. Remember what we said last week. What you don't measure, you can't manage. Go back and evaluate what's causing the problem. Did you stop tithing? Hey, Pastor, that's Old Testament. It's New Testament, too. We're not going to get to a theological debate. Did you stop managing responsibly? There's something causing that, because here's the deal. It's not God. God is who he says he is. And God's going to continue to do what he says he's going to do. So if there's a problem in the process, it's with the person and not the Lord. Are you with me today? If there's a problem in the process, let me just give you a little story about my health and my weight. Jason's helping me, my coach. Raise your hand, Jason. That's my coach. Good to have a coach because you need to be accountable. So I'm thinking I'm walking around weighing 225 pounds. You know, people ask me, how much you weigh? 225. But I hadn't been on a scale in no telling how long. So go to Jason. He's got this scale where you hold on. It's like a torture device or something. I don't know. But you hold it, and it sends vibrations through your body and tells you what your body fat is and tells you how much you weigh. I weigh 242 pounds. I know I carry it really well, but I weigh 242 pounds. You know what it did? It woke me up, because you can walk around thinking things are okay, but if you don't measure it, you can't manage it. So I had a wake-up call. How many of y'all need a wake-up call? God needs to wake us up. So this is what I did. In the first week, God gave me grace to lose 13 pounds. I'm getting down to 205. That was the most weight ever lost in the clinic, right? In 1 week. Glory. You know what that, Jason said? Well, that ain't normal. I said, I'm not normal. I'm supernatural. Come on. So, Pastor, what are you trying to say? Well, I'm trying to make you happy about my weight loss. No, that's not what I'm trying to say. What I'm trying to say is, when we get serious about things that God's serious about, things will change. But the first step in change, here's some good things I'm going to give you. Number one, realize you need to change. So you need to evaluate, where am I? Number two, the second thing is, you need to learn to get input from someone else, accountability. How am I doing? Number three, you got to do something about it. You say, well, I'm just going to wait on God to do something. You know, I believe in a lot of our situations, God's waiting on us. Jesus said it this way. He said, I'm not giving you new wine until you deal with your wineskin. You want something new in your life? You're going to have to do something new in your life. You know what the definition of insanity is? Doing the same thing over and over again, expecting different results. So if I want my money situation to change, guess what? You got to own it. You got to say, guess what? I have been a bad steward. I can remember years ago, I was praying to God. And I said, Lord, bless me. Bless me. You know what he said? He said, I can't bless you. Every time I go to bless you, you use your credit card. So we need to learn to be dependent on God, but act as an individual anointed by God. I think that goes hand in hand. That things need to change. If things need to change in your life, here's what's going to happen. God will allow us to operate in the same old way, in the same old wineskin, until it becomes unbearable. And when God wants you to get to a place where you say, what in the world? You see, the prodigal son had to get to the pig pen where there was nothing that he could do except say, Lord, help. So here's a good question to ask yourself in evaluating yourself. If I continue to do what I've been doing, what will I get? What will I get? And if you're expecting something different but doing the same thing, it's not going to happen. Come on, I'm preaching good today. Y'all ought to be amening me a lot better than you are today. Generosity. You got to evaluate, get some input from someone, and then step out and do something. Step out and do it. Let me tell you why. Time is short. This is what I realize. I realize the older I get, the less. Here, this is a true fact. The older you get, the less likely you are to change. and the harder it gets, it becomes to change. But you got to understand that old is a mindset. It's a mentality. God don't want us in an old mentality. God wants us to stay fresh and young. And see, when you're generous, you know what happens to your finances? They stay fresh and vibrant, and God can pour in. You see, a river flows, and because a river flows, it's full of life. A pool can become stagnant, but a river cannot become stagnant because it's always moving. Come on, you want some fresh life in your finances? Just give a little more. When you say, well, I don't feel like it. Well, don't let how you feel dictate what you do. Just give a little more. Be generous. Reflect the heart of God. You know, I've got 2 pages in this message, and I just got through 3 sentences on my message. Y'all are in trouble. No, you're not. Generosity is a tangible way for others to see the love of God in us. Generosity breaks a stingy, hoarding spirit and keeps us blessed. How about Luke 6:38? It says, give, and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give into your bosoms. For with the measure that you give, it'll be measured back to you. Now, there's several principles in that scripture. The first principle is this. If you want things to change as far as your finances and generosity, you have to be the initiator. So it says, give. Pastor, I want things to change in my life. Well, what are you doing about it? Are you giving? Are you creating something? Are you creating a platform for God to move? And it shall be given unto you. So when I give, what I sow, I'm going to reap. That's the second principle. The third is this. You're going to get more than what you gave. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. That's a picture of how you receive when you're generous. Will be poured into your lap. For the measure that you give, it'll measure back to you. When you put that in small Mississippi terms for you, little giving, little receiving. So as the measure increases in my life, guess what should happen? My giving ought to increase. My generosity, man, it ought to make me happy. And the happier I am, the more I am apt to give. Really? I mean, come on, think about it. Generosity ought to flow out of a spirit of joy. I don't have to give. We pass the offering plate, and some of y'all are thinking, oh, Lord. Got to give to the church today. Oh, God, listen, do you think God needs our money? God's got everything he needs in heaven. He's not sitting there worrying about how he's going to pay his light bill. He is the light in heaven, as a matter of fact. God, the reason God's established this principle is the principle of so he can bless us. My children don't have to obey me, but their life will be miserable if they don't. But if they obey, because my heart is to bless. But I'm not blessing what's not obedient. The heart of God is the same way. His heart is to bless. But don't think God's going to bless disobedience. Do you love your kids? Yeah, I love them. Therefore, I want to show them how God operates. I want to be just in how I handle my children. Sometimes we do our children injustice by not representing no, sometimes. No, you can't do that. No, you can't run in the church. Hello? No, you can't. No. Well, I won't. No. But then as they obey and they grow up, you learn, you show them what God would do when you obey him. Does it change how much I love them? No. Just shows them that when we do right, the blessings flow. So let's look at 3 things about being generous. The first thing is this. Here's 3 principles that will allow us to live a generous life. Number one, the first thing is, don't be obsessed with money. Don't be obsessed with money. Learn, look at money for what it is. Money is not a source, it's a tool. Money is not the source. God is the source. Whatever he uses as a resource is up to him. Now, is money good? No. Is it evil? No. It's neutral. Depends on who has it is the way it's represented. It's not money. Sometimes we misquote the scripture and say, money is the root of all evil. No, money's not. The love of money is the root of all evil. When you obsess over, let there be light. When you obsess over money, when it's all about the Benjamins, I'm very leery of people who are all about the Benjamins. People will try to get over on you if it's about money. People come first, amen? Money has no eternal value. People do. So don't be obsessed with money. We live in a materialistic world. Everywhere we go, every billboard, the latest, the greatest, the newest, and I like good stuff, and I like new stuff. And I think you ought to represent God in the way you dress, in the way you speak, in the way you carry yourself. But it's not what it's all about. Don't be obsessed with money. You say, how do I know if I'm obsessed? Well, you wake up thinking about it. You go to bed thinking about it. That's the driving force in your life. Matthew 6:24, Jesus wanted us to know there's a wrong spirit attached to the love of money. He said, no one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to one and despise the other. You can't serve both God and money. Only one Lord in your life. Look, I'm going to guess something for you. You're not going to believe how good I am at this guessing game. I bet some of you right now think, if I could just make this certain amount of money, I'd be good to go. I bet if you make $30,000, you think, man, if I could make $70,000, I'd be all right. Or if I make $70,000, if I get to $100,000, I'll be all right. You know what I found out about this? Is that it doesn't matter the amount of money you have. If you don't have the principles to manage it, you'll never have enough money. Right? But that's how we think. If I could just be like that person, if I could have that job or get this promotion, then I could be set for life. And listen, I'm going to tell you how you're going to be set. By practicing the principles of the kingdom of God. So don't be obsessed with money. Ecclesiastes 5:10 says, whoever loves money never has enough. Whoever loves wealth is never satisfied with their income. This too is meaningless. How about that scripture? Francis Bacon said this, the English philosopher. He said, money is a great servant, but a bad master. Money is a great servant, but a bad master. And in America, we fall for the trap that believe the lie that our net worth is equal to our self-worth. That our net worth is equal to our self-worth. Guess what? If you'll trust Jesus. I know some people in here who were in financial straits that turned it all around when they begin to practice the principles of finance. Can I just tell you, how many of y'all have done that and God's turned some things around? Raise your hand. Let people see. Come on. God will turn it around. I'm not just preaching something that's a pie in the sky thing. You can live it and God can do it. I'll tell you this. When I first started in the ministry, we had no money. But now we're okay. When we planted this church, we had no money. Some of y'all have seen where we've come from. We're at two services now. We'll probably have 250 people today. We're going to get us a new place soon. Be praying. We're pressing toward that way. Amen. Isn't that good? And by the way, Brian said, this place is not going to hold us. Can I just tell you, the next place isn't going to hold us either. We're moving on. Amen. We're going to do everything that God's called us to do. And guess what? When you are called by God, and God gives a vision and gives you a vision in your heart, money is not the issue. God will give you everything you need to do what you call to do. Just keep the vision in the forefront. See, my problem as a pastor is that sometimes things inundate me to try to keep me looking low. Come on, you got to look up, not down. You got to look up. You got to look forward. Don't worry about what's going on. Don't let the problems become your focus. Let the vision become your focus. And guess what's going to happen? Money's going to come. I heard John Maxwell say this one time. He said, if you put a man with vision in a meeting with a man with money, the man with vision will walk out with the other man's money. Money, listen, money follows vision. You want money? Get a vision. God will give everything that you need, but it'll never be about the money. It's got to be about the vision and the purpose and the anointing and the call. Let me ask you something. How many of y'all have just shrunk back a little bit from your call? Press on. Get your eyes up. Jesus had to remind his disciples, look up. Look up. The devil wants to bombard you and keep you looking down, but God wants you to look up. You've heard me say this, but I've got to live with a sense of destiny and purpose and passion. When I wake up in the morning, I wake up saying, let's go. Not some of us wake up and go, oh, God, another day. I had a lady tell me one time, she said, man, I woke up depressed this morning. I said, what? I said, how do you wake up depressed? I said, number one, you woke up. You woke up. You didn't die in your sleep. God's got a plan and a purpose. God's given you his breath. Let's keep things in perspective. Yeah, but pastor, things are bad. No, the things aren't bad. They're good because even when things are bad, they're good. If all things are working together for my good, then even the bad things are good. So I don't have bad days. Listen, you know that. I tell you all the time, I have bad moments, never bad days. And I'm not going to have a bad life because God's going to turn all my bad things into good things because I'm called and anointed and a purpose man full of vision, and we're going to make a difference in this church. I'm going to tell you, this church is full of people with vision. And if we'll get unified in what God's called us to do, we're going to change our area. We're going to change our city. So don't be obsessed with money. Learn the secret of contentment. Paul said in 1 Timothy 6, godliness with contentment is great gain. Number two, the second principle that'll help us to be generous is that we need to chase hard after God. There's only one thing that'll bring true satisfaction in our life, and that's a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything else will leave you empty. Matthew 6:33, Jesus said, seek first the kingdom, and all these things will be added unto you. I love how Jesus just broke it down in Matthew 6:33, don't you? He said, take no thought what you're going to eat, what you're going to drink, what you're going to wear, because the Father knows you have need of these things even before you ask. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Jesus said, here you go. Let me create two categories for you in life, kingdom and things. He said, you see this things category? Don't worry about it. Focus on this category. Amen. Can I just encourage you today? Focus on kingdom. True satisfaction is only found in Jesus. 1 Timothy 6:17 says this, command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is uncertain, but to put their hope in God, which richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. You say, pastor, I'm not rich. You understand that if you have food in your refrigerator, maybe a little money in your wallet, a car to drive, that you're in the top 4% of all the richest people in the world. See, our problem is we have a tendency to compare ourselves to ourselves. We've created our own little world where we don't know outside of our world what it's like. I'll just make this statement, and I hope it's a profound one for you. You'll always have enough to be generous. And I think a lot of times because we get our finances out of order, that God kind of wakes us up with little things that happen to us. We're like, man, what's happening to our finances? Could it be that God's trying to get our attention? I just want to encourage you. You remember what Pastor Mike said last week? He said there's a man in his church that's going to give $500,000 offering to the church or tithe. I believe there's some people in here that God wants. But you see, that kind of giving requires faith. Are you allowing the Spirit of God to work in your business? Some of y'all are called to be kingdom funders. I'm looking at three or four men right now that I know God's called to be kingdom funders. The question I want to ask you is, are you moving toward that? Several men in here. Because I have a vision for this church to be $1 million giving a year to mission. $1 million is my goal. You say, Pastor, don't tell me what it looks like. I know what I feel in my heart. Go after God. Look, let the kingdom mix with your finances. Get kingdom-minded in your jobs. Say, this job is a tool that God's going to use to catapult destiny in the kingdom of God. This is a tool. Listen, if all you ever do, you remember what Jesus said? You remember the story of the feeding the 5,000? He said, what do you have? He said, I got 5 loaves and 2 fish. Not enough. He said, all I got. He said, well, give what you have. Listen, if all you ever have is what's in your hand, that's all you ever you'll ever have, and eventually you won't have that because you'll eat it. Kingdom-minded men understand that what they have in their hand is a seed to what they're going to do in their future. See, your job that you have right now, the business or the thing that you own or that God's got you running is a kingdom business, and you need to see it not as what's in your hand, but what it can be. Chase after God. Let's mix some kingdom up in this thing. The supernatural. Number three, the third principle. If I want to be generous, I'm going to be rich in helping other people. I do it all the time. Me and Tanya went to Logan's yesterday, and by the way, I ate right. I haven't eaten a piece of bread in 13 days. God, I want to eat a pizza right now. A whole pizza. And we were sitting there, and our waiter was Dalton, and he had a great attitude. I said, Dalton, I appreciate your attitude. I said, and I told him about the church. Anyway, he said, well, that's a blessing. Thank you for saying that. I said, I'm going to bless you with a great tip. You know what? There's a study that says Christians are the worst tippers. That's sad. This Christian's not. Because I want them to say, you know what? Something different about this. We're going to be rich in helping people. In other words, in whatever capacity, whatever's in my pocket, whatever's in my wallet, whatever's in my hand, whatever's in my heart, God can use me to be a blessing. And then when I leave that person, when I leave a place, I'm going to leave it better than when I got there. That's the Spirit of Jesus. That's the Spirit of Jesus. The generous Spirit of God is that I'm here to be a difference maker. I'm anointed by God to be a difference maker. In whatever capacity that I can be a difference maker. I'm going to do it. Here's four practical thoughts. I know I've given you like 57 keys already. Those are the most important 57 keys you'll ever have. And by the way, I always had a problem with spelling financial. Forgive me for that on the announcement. Offential. We have an offential meeting August 20th. Y'all stretch your hands toward me right now. I need help. Here's some four practical thoughts on being generous. The first thing is, I've got to make myself available. Don't super spiritualize it to say I'm looking for a divine appointment, because I am a divine. Steps of a righteous man are ordered of the Lord. Number two, be willing. Be spontaneous when prompted by the Spirit of God, and live with a yes attitude. Be willing. Be spontaneous when prompted by the Spirit of God. Live with a yes attitude. Isn't that good? A yes attitude. Isn't that something? Every time Jesus, they came to Jesus, said, Lord, would you? He said, yeah, I will. Yes, I will. Number three, be strategic. Look for it. Plan for it. Expect it. Keep a little change or a little money in your pocket that's going to be used just for generosity. That little $100, that $100 bill that you keep in your wallet is to go to blessing. Be sacrificial. If it doesn't move you, it won't move God. How about the widow who gave a mite? The widow's mite, a quarter of a penny. Jesus sat at the offer. Now think about this. Does Jesus care about what you give? He sat at the temple watching who was putting money in the offer. So I just want you to know, Jesus is watching you when you put your money in. Joke. But he is. But he sat there and he said, you know what? I'm not impressed with all the money here. What I'm impressed with is this widow who gave everything that she had out of faith. If it doesn't move you, it won't move God. Isn't it silly how sometimes we can get into the withdrawal safe mode? You say, Pastor, I just can't afford. If you can't afford, I just want to let you know something. You'll never afford. Because here's the deal. It has nothing to do with you except that you obey. Because when I get into the can't afford mode, I withdraw. And all I'm looking at is me. And all I'm thinking about is my need. I can't be thinking about my need and blessing others. So I want to encourage you today. You want to break that stingy spirit, give. Give. Let's Life Church people be characterized by generosity. A spirit that flows in everything that we do. From our finances to how we treat others to how we give of our time. It is part of God's prescription for a worry-free financial life. Do you receive that today? Amen. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. If we'll just learn these principles of tithing consistently, managing responsibly, and then giving generously, God will open up a new window of heaven where we won't have room to receive it as He pours out His blessing. How many of y'all would say, Pastor, I want to be a conduit. I received this message, and I want to take it personally into my heart for God to use me in a greater way. Amen. Anybody in here? Amen. Amen. I see those hands. Great, 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 great. second invitation I want to just ask you. Is there anyone here that's at the service that's never made a decision to allow Jesus Christ to become Lord? Jesus came to earth. And he walked this earth and lived a sinless life and died as a sacrifice. The only sacrifice that was acceptable to God for you and me. So that we could miss eternal judgment and receive eternal blessing. Is there anyone here, just look at me and say, Pastor, I need to make a decision today to make Jesus Lord of my life. Anyone? Don't leave out of here without doing that. All right. I'm going to bless you. Come on, lift your hands if you want to be blessed and become a conduit for the blessing of God. Father, in the name of Jesus, we are your people. Lord, you said we're your people and the sheep of your pasture. Lord, shouldn't your people be a reflection of their God? Lord, in everything that we do, Lord, that we have not been called to be withholding, but we've called to be blessed. And Lord, right now, you said as we're obedient to your word, you would rebuke the devourer for our sake. There is some spiritual opposition against godly finances. And Lord, I ask you to break that right now. And Lord, in the midst of that, I release new levels of prosperity, new levels of obedience, new levels of generosity in your people. Lord God, that we are going to be known as the church that loves and gives. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you today. So glad you came.